counsel. Next case for argument, United States v. Moore. Mr. Southern.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Sean Southern, and I represent the appellant in this case, Mr. Dontrell Moore. I would like to focus on the first issue this morning, if I may, specifically that the identification of Mr. Moore as one of the bank robbers was insufficient. The evidence was insufficient as a result of descriptions that did not match Mr. Moore and holes in the government's case. Specifically, Ms. Haverstock described suspect number two, who the government alleged to be Mr. Moore, as 5'7" tall. This is 10 inches short of Mr. Moore's height at 6'5". 6'5" is a noticeably tall person. In fact, the police, when they arrested Mr. Moore, described him as extremely tall.
I think your problem is that it's just very difficult to explain his presence in the house.
That is a difficulty.
One of the robbers.
It is a difficulty, Your Honor, especially the defendant did not put on a case, so we don't have any evidence stating to why he was in the house. However, we do know that he was apparently knew these men that were in the house. Joseph Lewis had frequently went to Kenyatta Lewis's house and was with Kenyatta Lewis, so it's perfectly believable that he was there as a social circumstance and just at the wrong time. In addition to the descriptions that do not match Mr. Moore, the missing evidence demonstrates that suspect number two, who is alleged to be Mr. Moore, never went back to the house where the men were arrested. It's undisputed that three men robbed the bank, but one-third of the money is missing. That's one individual's share of the money. In addition, the white canvas bag the money was placed into is missing. One mask is missing. Only two were recovered. Suspect number two's pants were never recovered, and we know this because his pants were described as bluish-green, and only dark blue pants were recovered with a white stripe down the side.
A large
white stripe, noticeable. And the witness did not describe the white stripe, and the photograph taken from the security camera did not show a white stripe either. And finally, the boxer shorts that were described as suspect number two's, the green plaid boxer shorts, those were not recovered from the house. None of the items that suspect number two were described as wearing were found at the house, and his portion of the money was not described there. So suspect number two never went to the house and was not Mr. Moore. Mm-hmm. If there are no further questions. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Southern. Ms. Lowry?
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Leslie Miller Lowry on behalf of the United States for Dontrell Moore. Viewing the evidence in the light most favorable to the government.
Did Mr. Southern make a good point, though? I mean, where's the third? If one-third of everything is missing, doesn't that suggest that the third robber didn't go back to the house?
There is a portion of the money that is missing. That is without a doubt.
Well, and it's approximately one-third. Yeah. I mean, my concern with the government's theory here is that it really is a mere presence in the house theory. It's not even a presence in the bank or a presence in the getaway car or anything. There, Mr. Southern points out that there's a rather large span of time during which Mr. Moore could have come to the house.
Respectfully, the United States would disagree with the fact that there's a large span of time. The testimony at trial was that the GPS unit began to track at 1:49.
Yeah, but you're making an assumption. The people who right. own this house left for work relatively early in the morning. The other two people, suspect one and suspect three, if you want to call them that, do show up at the house about 10 minutes after the bank robbery. But any time between when the owners left and the police arrived, Mr. Moore could have come. He could have come with, if he is, in fact, suspect number two, could have been then, but it could have been hours before. He's found in the toilet.
There is the possibility that between the time when Kenyatta Lewis's family left in the morning and the time immediately following the bank robbery, the officers flooded the area, that someone could have arrived.
And they're a couple of hours, right? Because they left pretty early, 6:45 in the morning or so.
They left at 6, in the 6 o'clock hour, I believe around 6:45, you're right. However, if the balance of the testimony is looked at, there are direct ties to Dontrell Moore being in the bank. Marsha Howell described when she looked on the security cameras, what she saw, admittedly, was the individuals leaving the bank. She saw an individual with some kind of mask on and braids exiting the
she
bank.
She didn't quite say braids, though.
Or dreadlocks.
The government keeps referring to cornrows, but she never really says that. No, she just sees kind of longer hair, I think.
And I believe her testimony, though, was some kind of braids or dreadlocks hanging underneath the hat. Janice Peters, who was also in the vault with Linda Havish.
And he's the only African-American man who has any cornrows or braids?
Absolutely not. However, also Janice Peters describes her descriptions about the heights, the relative heights are a little more sure. Linda Haverstock said that she may not have been very good with determining heights. Janice Peters...
But both of them contemporaneously have a much lower estimate than 6'5". 6'5 is pretty tall.
They do have a much lower estimate as far as estimating the actual height, but what Janice Peters did say was that the second suspect was taller than the first, and he was thinner. The balance of the government's case in this case is not mere presence. It's a tight circumstantial case. We recognize that in this...
It's a weak circumstantial case. I mean, maybe it's enough. I mean, obviously, there's a strong standard of review in your favor, but our caller could have come to the house at any time. You're missing a third of the evidence. It's a troublesome case.
Kenyatta Lewis, it is undoubted that three male blacks robbed the bank. Three distinctly sized male blacks. A male black who was described as a large man, an average sized male black as Dewan Warren, and a tall, thin male black robbed the bank that's a mile and a half from the house where they are located. The GPS tracked directly to that house. Law enforcement officers were in the area inside of 10 minutes. No one left the house or came to the house in that time.
Did Moore know the Lewises?
I'm sorry?
Did Moore know the Lewises?
No. Kenyatta Lewis, who owned the house, Billy testified that he did not know Dontrell Moore. He may have been the half...
How did the two or three robbers, how did they get into the house?
The government...
Were the Lewises back by then? Or?
No.
So how'd they get in?
There was a green Camaro, the government's position, there was a green Camaro that was sitting in the driveway. The green Camaro was unlocked and had a garage door opener. There was no forced entry to the main large garage door. Joseph Lewis is Kenyatta Lewis's first cousin. And the testimony... Joseph Lewis is Kenyatta Lewis's first cousin. He took the garage door opener, got into the house. There was forced entry from the service door from the garage into the house. But when officers came into the house, when they surrounded the house, nobody came or went from the house. As the EST team is going up the stairs, making noise, announcing their presence, no one says anything about, like, yo, what's going on here?
But your opponent says that when they're yelling, he's upstairs in the second floor inside the bathroom.
He's up, yes. There,
so
the
maybe he wouldn't be yelling anything from there.
The officers,
I mean, isn't that awfully speculative?
I mean,
your proof burden is beyond a reasonable doubt.
And the proof of burden is beyond a reasonable doubt. Circumstantial evidence is weighed just the same as direct testimony, and I believe that the circumstantial evidence in this case, particularly when you are able to look at people's reactions and how they react in particular situations, when the police came up the stairs onto that floor where the bathroom was, there was no reaction. When the officer went into the bathroom with a 12-gauge shotgun drawn and Mr. Moore sitting on the toilet and shows no reaction.
He was probably shot. I mean, you know, I
he
I'm
showed
not
no
sure
reaction.
What we can read into that.
I think you can, the government, the United States position is you can certainly look at people's reaction. There was no reaction on the part of someone, and not even a startled reaction. You had no kind of reaction to an officer coming, storming up the stairs, coming into the bathroom where you're sitting, putting a 12-gauge shotgun in your face. At no point did, what's going on? Hey, nothing. And I think that that is very telling when you look at the total circumstances of this case. There's three men in the house. Nobody was supposed to be in that house. They're in the house with the money, the gun, the broken GPS. For anything else to be true, then there would have had to be some other band of people that came into the house, found the upstairs attic entrance that was in a bedroom closet, dumped all the stuff,
well,
and got out.
We don't know that Mr. Moore had anything to do with putting that stuff up in the attic.
Mr. Moore...
We don't know that. We just don't know.
No, no one saw him do it.
I mean, the other two men could have put it. Two men could have easily put that stuff up in the attic.
Two men could have easily put that stuff in the attic. And it's not just Don Charles Moore's presence in the house, therefore makes him guilty of the robbery. The GPS, I think, is the critical link in this case. The fact that you can, from the United States perspective, tie a tall, thin... He's not the only tall, thin male black that has that type of hair. However, when you have three distinctly sized male blacks who rob the bank and three of the exact same distinctly sized male blacks found in a house a mile and a half away with a GPS to track to the house with all the implements of the bank robbery in the house, it is true that there is a third of the money missing.
And that the clothes don't match.
Well, Janice Peters also described him having on several layers of clothes as well. So we don't know what may have been under there. There are nearly three complete sets of clothes. Do we have every piece from everyone? No. But that does not, from the United States perspective, take away from the analysis of this being a circumstantial case.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Lowry. Mr. Southern, how much time does he have? 2 minutes? So, Mr. Southern, what is your theory as to how Moore got into the house?
Our theory is that Joseph Lewis was there at some time during that day, and he let him in. They knew each other, and he was there for social reasons.
What's in the record to show they knew each other?
I think it's shown that they knew each other because he was in the house when the police arrived.
Well, that's circular.
Beyond that, there isn't any evidence to show that he had any prior involvement with the two men.
But how
did
he get in?
Isn't it possible he broke in? I mean, you know, maybe Mr. Moore is no saint, you know, and maybe he broke into the house, too. I mean, for all I know. But
there's no evidence of that either.
How could he have gotten in? Were the Lewises there?
The Lewises, Kenyatta Lewis and his wife and child left at 6:25 that morning, so they were not there. However, Joseph Lewis, there was the garage door open in the Camaro, and there was testimony that Joseph Lewis also had a garage door opener that Kenyatta Lewis had given him on Thanksgiving. So they had it. Joseph Lewis
so
had access to the house.
That Moore used the garage opener to get in and then forced his way into the house. And then the real robbers came and used the same mode of entry? Is that?
No. Our theory is not that Moore forced his way into the house.
How did he get into the house then?
Joseph Lewis had access to the house.
I don't understand.
So you're saying at 7:30 in the morning after Kenyatta Lewis had left, Joseph Lewis lets in Moore and then says, I'm going to go out for a while, goes out and robs the bank and comes back?
The events of that day, we don't have any evidence of the events, but they left at 6:25 and the officers don't arrive until 2 in the afternoon. So it would not have necessarily had to have been at 7:30 when access was allowed by anyone. I also would like to touch on the braids. There's no testimony that suspect number 2 had braids or cornrows. It's stated in government brief page 5. It's stated in our reply on page 2 and in volume 2, page 51 through 52 of the transcripts. Ms. Howell just says that she doesn't know if there were dreadlocks or braids. She cannot testify to that fact.
She does say it was long, though.
She does say it's long, but she says she did not see braids or cornrows, or long braids, sorry.
That's not what she said. She said she doesn't know whether it was braids or cornrows.
Right. I don't know if it was dreadlocks or braids or what it was, but it was long hair. Yes.
Hey, well, thank you, Mr. Southern. And you were appointed, were you not? So we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your clients.